Thanks very much, Cindy. I forgot to include two words, not to let the cat out of the bag too early, but it should read attempts at suppressing weeds. So, would like to acknowledge Tim Wench and Glenn Martin, co-authors on this paper. For those of you who have looked at the literature and those of you who have not, you are or are not aware of the fact that there has been kind of renewed interest in looking at cover crops, particularly looking at them as weed suppression tools in organic farming systems. And in fact, in Agronomy Journal, there's at least three manuscripts that have been published since 2010 dealing with this topic. Interestingly, no research has been published on cover crops in the context of organic farming systems within the U.S. Great Plains region. So our objective was to determine or to look at cover crops in the context of weed suppression in the northern Great Plains. Now this is a different field experiment than or field study than what Sharon addressed. This is not the same study. What we did in this particular study is in southwestern North Dakota, where I'm located at, conducted field experiments during 2007-08, 2008-09, and 2009-10 growing seasons. And treatments within each field experiment were arranged in a randomized complete block in a split-split block pattern. Those treatments included at the whole plot level, terminating the cover crops using a small tandem disc and kind of a clean till system, terminating the cover crops by undercutting using a wide sweep and a reduced till system, and terminating the cover crops using a now famous blade roller or roller crimper and a no-till system. At the subplot level, treatments included winter rye, winter wheat, vetch, rye plus vetch, wheat plus vetch cover crops. At the sub-sub-block level, treatments included a buckwheat, pinto bean, and maize or corn cash crop. Those cash crops planted after we attempted to terminate the cover crops. Okay, we, like everyone else in these studies, collected plenty of data. Some of the data that were collected, which I'll discuss briefly in the next few minutes, above ground, pre- and post-cover crop termination biomass or dry matter of weeds, above ground pre-cover crop termination dry matter production by cover crops, and then yield of the cash crops that followed termination of the cover crops. Okay, now in terms of cover crop dry matter or biomass production, this was just prior to terminating the cover crops. In the last 2 years of the study, we found greater amounts of cover crop dry matter being produced when we used the blade roller or the roller crimper versus using the disc. And in 1 year, greater amounts of dry matter produced when we used the blade roller versus a sweep, which isn't too surprising since in the last 2 years of the study, we attempted to terminate the cover crops at a later growth stage when using a blade roller versus using the disc. Now, I had this great idea when we started out to not confound comparisons across the three termination methods, so we applied all three termination methods at the same time on the same calendar date in year one. And guess what? We found out, like everybody else I think does, that when you delay disking cover crops until a relatively advanced growth stage needed for terminating those same cover crops with a blade roller, that the seedbed that results probably isn't the best for establishing a cash crop. So even though it did confound comparison, in the last 2 years we did disk at an earlier growth stage than when we used the blade roller or, for that matter, the undercutter. Not as early as would typically be done if you're terminating a cover crop by a disk, but we really had no choice, okay? Now, looking at the amount of cover crop dry matter produced by those five cover crop treatments in our study, I think there are some trends. I know it's a little bit hard to see on the wavy board here, but first, statistically speaking, cover crops that included rye, whether a monoculture or an intercrop with vetch, produced equal or greater amounts of dry matter than any of the other treatments included in the study. Okay? So rye was the driver to greatest amounts of cover crop at our location. Two, least amounts of dry matter, cover crop dry matter, were produced by hairy vetch when grown alone compared with any of the other treatments in each of the 3 years. Three, at our location, we were unable to detect any advantage in terms of cover crop dry matter production when we intercropped either small grain crop with vetch versus growing that small grain crop alone as a cover crop. At our location, we haven't seen any advantage in terms of cover crop production by intercropping the small grains with anything else. Okay? And lastly, in terms of yield, because there's a lot of discussion in the literature about that. Now, this is across all three termination methods, but maximum amounts of dry matter at our location in terms of cover crop production range from about, 4,000 kilograms per hectare in both the first year and the third year of the study to around 5,000 kilograms per hectare of dry matter during the second year. So in western North Dakota, 4,000 to 5,000 kilograms per hectare of dry matter produced by cover crop like rye. That's across the three tillage systems. So yeah, there was more produced when a blade ruler was used. Still though, when you read some of the literature from the east, we're talking about a little bit less dry matter production by the cover crops. No interaction between the termination method whole plots and the cover crop subplot treatments for cover crop dry matter production. Let's look at weeds, which is really what we're after. This is weed biomass or dry matter at termination. Okay, not subsequently, but at termination. We didn't find any consistent trends when you looked at it across the years in terms of dry matter production by termination method, but when you looked at the cover crops, there was a very obvious trend. Not too surprising. At our location, greatest amounts of weed dry matter are produced in the hairy vetch sole plots versus any plot that included a small grain. Okay, the hairy vetch at our location in this particular study simply wasn't competitive with weeds. Okay, and these are primarily annual weeds. Okay? Now, let's look at really what we're after, weed dry matter production at harvest of those cash crops which followed termination of the cover crops. Cover crops were terminated, plant the cash crop, then you harvest them for great grain yields later. That's kind of the idea. Oh, we didn't quite achieve that, but okay. There were interactions during both the first and the third year of the study between termination method and cover crop dry species or treatment. Okay, in the third year, again, greatest amount of weed dry matter occurred in those sole hairy vetch plots relative to the other cover crop treatments when we use the undercutter and the roller. And this is a little deceptive, because a large portion of this dry matter was actually hairy vetch that wasn't killed by the roller crimper for sure, and even in this third year that wasn't killed by the undercutter. We've had a dickens of a time killing these cover crops when we use the blade roller. I mean, it's a challenge for us at our location. Okay, in the first year, again, greatest amounts of weed biomass produced when we used the blade roller, when hairy vetch in hairy vetch plots, but again, part of this, and in fact, portions of what is indicated here are actually cover crops that were not terminated using the blade roller. There were some differences across some of the other cover crop treatments that, well, even when we used the disc, say, in 2007-08, remember this was discing a little bit later than what we wanted, but no consistent trends. Okay? Now, in terms of the second year of the study, in that particular year, we actually didn't see a difference in weed biomass production just prior to harvesting the cash crops across the three tillage systems, but again, we did in terms of the cover crop treatments, and it was pretty consistent in this study, greatest amounts of weed biomass in the hairy vetch plots. Okay. Another thing I need to point out is all these cover crop treatments within a particular year were established at the same time, that time being about when we would plant winter wheat for grain at our location, so anywhere from mid-September to even later, late September, early October. And if you read, and what we have found at our location since then, that probably is a little later than what you'd like to do when you're planting, say, hairy vetch, by about a month. Okay? Now, in terms of cash grain dry matter production, so this is above ground vegetative plus reproductive growth. There was an interaction during the second year of this study between termination method and the five cover crop treatments for subsequent cash dry matter production, cash crop dry matter production, kind of a stairwise progression as you move from rye to the hairy vetch plots, a little bit different than what we found in terms of weeds. No difference across the cover crop treatments when using the blade roller, and something in between when using the sweep. I don't know if you can see this on the y-axis, but in terms of, look at the blade roller and the amount of dry matter across those five cover crop treatments, not real impressive. Okay, we're talking about 600 kilograms per hectare, and there is a reason that I didn't talk about seed production, because our seed production was actually quite a bit less. We weren't very successful at producing seed in terms of any cash crop that we grew. Okay. Now, in terms of the third year of the study, no interaction between termination method and cover crop species, but there was an interaction between termination method and the cash crops that followed. When the disc was used, significantly more dry matter when corn was grown versus pinto bean, no difference when the sweep was used, no difference when the roller crimper was used, and again with the roller crimper, basically very little dry matter was produced, period. Why? Well, besides the fact that we have had difficulty killing the cover crops, if you've never been to North Dakota, you're welcome to come. But it does get cold there, and we have a short growing season. And when we have to delay killing the cover crops until we have any chance using the blade roller, we're planting corn, pinto beans, buckwheat at about July 1 or later. And if you can do that in North Dakota successfully, you're going to be written up in successful farming and everything else. I mean, it's just tough to do. So there are some challenges using this system. Okay? Dry matter yield during the second year of the study, no interaction between termination method and cover crop or even cash crop treatments, but there was a significant difference among the cash crops that were grown. Again, corn produced highest amounts of dry matter relative to buckwheat and pinto bean, and that's no surprise. Okay, so those of you who came here to see all this wonderful things and how successful we've been in North Dakota so far, a clear advantage in weed suppression was not demonstrated by blade rolling versus disking. Disking would kind of like be the control. That's how most producers in North Dakota, virtually all of them, terminate cover crops within an organic system thus far. One thing that we found, and I know that many researchers who are in this room have struggled as well, is blade rolling did not kill hairy vetch cover crops consistently, and in our case, we weren't always successful at terminating the small grain crops consistently. And we did wait till quite advanced growth stages relative to some of the successes that have been reported in the literature. In terms of hairy vetch, we're waiting till flat pod stage at the very I thought that was when we were going to be successful at terminating cover crops consistently. We were until this year, different study. We couldn't even kill them consistently when we waited that late. In terms of the small grains, it's usually reported somewhere around anthesis, 50% anthesis, something like that. We're terminating them later than that. We cannot terminate them consistently. So it's probably me, but we're just having a challenge. And I hate to put an unhappy face, but it's not working quite the way we'd hoped so far. So, as I said, our challenge in places like North Dakota, unlike, say, Chris Freeburg Horton down in North Carolina, is we just got the short growing season. So we don't have the luxury of, and Chris would probably say the same thing, but we really don't have the luxury of shortening our growing season any more than what we have to work with. We've got to find something we can terminate and we can plant if we're going to grow corn. It's got to be about mid-May at the latest, or in terms of grain production, forget it. Okay? So, What do I think about organic zero-till? I'm very confident in North Dakota it has considerable potential. I think we can make it work. But I have come to realize that the success that has been reported by Kathleen and others in terms of using this system with, say, dry beans, I don't think it's going to work in a place like North Dakota. I think we can get it to work, but I think what's going to happen is the organic zero-till that we get to work in North Dakota is going to look differently than it does, say, in Iowa or particularly in the Mid-Atlantic region. So that's all I've got. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Pat. Yeah.